Good morning, everyone. It's a great privilege to be here this morning and to feel the blessing of the Lord in our midst and to see all of you. It's been a privilege to as I think back over the years, I see come to the grounds here, and I can remember these grounds for quite a few years back, because we were privileged to live on a farm not too far away and got to come to some of the meetings even back in the 40s. I was just a child and parents brought me here, so those memories are still there, and I just appreciated very much that I was there then, and I'm still here now. So, and not everyone has that privilege. There are many things that come up in life that will steer you a different direction. I'm not saying that things don't always turn out for other people that may not be in our midst here, because God has a plan for every life that He has created. But we are privileged just to be here and to be able to have such very special friends that we've been friends with for so long. So this morning I want to read a scripture from the Psalms as an encouragement. Sometimes we can get down, a little bit down, a lot down, very depressed sometimes. Anybody ever experienced that? I have. But the Lord wants us, He wants us to have joy in our lives. When we walk in the Spirit, we've had messages here about walking in the Spirit, about walking with God. Brother Holt gave a message about walking with God and dwelling in His presence. I'm looking at Psalm 91, if you'd like to look it up. And I'd just like to read through parts of that at least, maybe all of it. When we read through that, we can think, does that really apply to my life? Well, the psalmist was serving the same God that we're serving today. And it seems as though maybe the psalmist was, in the Psalms there are lots of problems revealed from those who wrote the Psalms, but also there are a lot of experiences of joy and experiences of the privilege of walking with God. And this psalmist starts out with Psalm 91. He says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust." Are we all trusting in Him today? Even though there are lots of things going on around us, we've had challenges in our lives. But if we look back over the years, in my case, and I'm sure in everyone else's, that we see the hand of the Lord was there. And there's no point in looking back and saying, well, I made a bad decision back there and it changed my life in this direction. God had a plan, and it's just a waste of time to be thinking that you've made mistakes or anything like that. I know it seems to me that I've made quite a few mistakes as I was going along, but through all of that, God had His hand there and was leading, and that's why I'm here today. That's why you're here today. There are many decisions that we could have made otherwise, maybe would have given us more money, more something else, but maybe we wouldn't be here today and partaking of his presence. So, it says here, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day. I wonder if we can enter into that so that we will not fear anything because the Lord is with us. A thousand may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord. So now this is the Lord talking. Because he loves me, and he's talking about you or me, I will receive him and I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. We all acknowledge his name when we should. He will call upon me and I will answer. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Praise the Lord. Let's enter into that. We should be able this morning, as we begin our worship, we think about the meeting this evening, and we're looking for healing. We're looking for healing in our bodies. But let's make this a whole day of healing, a day of healing of our spirits, and healing from within, so that we can really enter into the presence of the Lord and get rid of anything that's bothering us, and enter into his presence. And throughout the day, let's be praying for those needs that we will be praying for this evening. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me and sing the chorus, Come, O Lord, and overflow us with your love.
Come, O Lord, and overflow us with your love. Come, O Thank you. Yeah.
found on page 30 of the Red Book. It's only a few words. It says in the book that it was composed by Ewald Wanigas. We appreciate appreciate his ministry and all the things that he has left for us to enjoy. Let's sing it again.
Fear not, for I
spirit free. I know that there are people in bondage here today, and I've felt that myself, and wondering, why can't my spirit be set free so that I praise the Lord all the time, that I may be rid of all of those things that worry me, and that I'm fear should not be part of our lives when we walk with the Lord. And let's just look to the Lord that He will deliver those that need to be delivered today from any of those things that are holding us back, that are taking away the smile. I walked through the dinner line, and one of the people that were serving said, "I'm here to smile. That's my job." And it really helped. I tell you. Praise the Lord. Let's just sing this again and ask the Lord to bring the sunshine into our lives this morning. Set the Spirit free.
God, deliverance comes to the people of God whose hearts are turned to Him. deliverance comes to those who call upon him with a humble and a contrite heart. And this day, saith the Lord, as you turn to me with your whole being, I will surely send my deliverance among you, saith the Lord. Of anointing, for I am here, and I am not only here, but I am pouring down upon you, and I am here, and I am willing that you, that those who feel dry, those who feel thirsty, I tell you, to break up that fallow ground, to prepare your hearts, for I shall fill you up to overflowing. I shall fill you up not just that you might receive, not just that you might receive healing, not that you might just receive freedom, not that you might just receive deliverance, but I say to you this day that you shall flow out, that you shall flow out, and I shall flow out from you to all of the needs and the brokenness that you see, and I shall flow out to the divisions. I shall flow out to the heart, to the heartbreak. I shall flow out to the brokenness, says the Lord God Almighty, for I am here, and I am willing, and I am ready. Lift up your heads, lift up your hands, open up your hearts, for I am pouring out in a greater way than you can even imagine, says the Lord God.
My people, I have clearly indicated to you that I am calling intercessors. I am calling those with a gift of healing to be my hand extended. Yes. Yea, my people, it is not by your might or by your power, but it is by my might and by my power. Yea, my people, prepare your hearts for the work that I will do in the camp. Yea, my people, spend time fasting and praying. Yea, my people, spend time building up your faith, the faith of God. Amen. Yea, my people, believe and do not doubt. Yea, my people, as you prepare to come forth for healing, open your heart to me and I will heal you. Yea, my people, I desire to heal your hearts. I desire to heal your soul and your spirit, and I desire to heal your body. Yea, my people, the bondage that has held on to you for a short time and for a long time will be there no more. For yea, my people, I love you with an everlasting love. And yea, my people, I desire to extend my hand unto you. So yea, my people, be faithful in that calling which is upon your life, that you may be my hand extended, and you will see greater things in this earth, thus saith the Lord.
Do with you, it is me, saith the Lord.
receive, saith God. Yea, I have desire that you would make your requests known unto me, saith God. Yea, that you would request faith. Yea, and that you would request maturity. Yea, and that you would also request healing, saith God. Yea, for my healing is stored up and ready for thee, saith God. You have only to ask, you have only to seek, you have only move out with compassion among one another, saith the Lord. Yea, to call down my blessing upon your brother and sister, saith the Lord. Yea, and to invoke my healing, saith God. Yea, for it is a privilege I have reserved for my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. Yea, that my power should move forth through their hands. Yea, that my words should go forth through their mouths, saith the Lord. Yea, for such a thing have I made thee holy, saith the Lord. Yea, I have begun to change thee for this very purpose, saith God. Yea, that my hand should once more move out through the earth as it did in former days. Yea, but now my hand shall not be invisible, saith the Lord. Yea, but my hand shall be thy hand. Yea, and my will and my spirit shall move out through thy ministry, saith God.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yea, my children, did I not say unto you that I am the great I am, and I have created everything under heaven and in earth? And you need to surrender to me, my children. Leave thy earthly pleasures and thy earthly habits behind you. Enter into my spirit, my children, for there is great things that await you in my spirit, my children. The healing will come to you, my children. You just have to surrender to me. Just surrender to me, and all will be done.
Saith the Lord, yea, my sacrifice that I gave, yea, it is sufficient for all thy need. Yea, for all that are all of creation. Yea, for everything. Yea, it is sufficient, saith thy God. Yea, receive it even as thou dost receive thy salvation. Receive it as a child receives from his father the gifts of his hand. For it is finished, saith thy God. Yea, enter thou in as thou dost yield thy heart. Yea, as thou dost acknowledge me in all thy ways. Yea, acknowledge me. Yea, for I live in thee as thou hast come to know me. I live there. Yea, and I am thy Savior, and I am thy God.
Is it too difficult to follow me with your whole heart?
Yeah.
Yea, do I ask too much of you, saith the Lord? Did I ask too much of my son Jesus, saith the Lord? Yea, I will have a people who present before me their empty vessel, saith the Lord, that I can fill to overflowing. Yea, and together we shall go forth to accomplish the work that I have to do. And yea, sin and sickness and disease and fear and confusion will yield, saith the Lord your God. And yea, love and unity and joy and order will abound. Yea, my people, present your empty vessel before me this day, saith the Lord your God.
Things that I really, really want to do this for you. But today, as you seek me, search your hearts. What's in your vessel that needs to be poured out before I can fill your vessel? Oh, my children, repent. Search your hearts. Is there something that needs to be repented of before I can fully work in you? You still have time, my children, to search your hearts and to repent and to empty your vessel, and then you can come to me and I can fill you fully, right from the bottom to the top, and not just top off your glass, but to fill it from the top to the bottom.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
They are contradictory to one another.
Yeah.
But if ye be led by the Spirit, you're not bound by the law. Therefore, I say, O Lord, just release us. Release us from our bondage.
Amen.
Release us. Transform us.
Yes.
And keep us, Lord,
yes,
in practice of being led by the Spirit. Amen.
I will help you pour out your vessels and make it all mine, and I will fill it with the latter rain. You can hear it on the rooftop. You can hear it come down through the roof, through the ceiling. It is hitting you. It is flowing down your head. It is flowing down your shoulders. It is flowing down your body. It is flowing down to the soles of your feet. It is covering you. It is covering you. And I promise you, this day is a change for you. No longer will you be doubting. No longer will you be fearful. For I am now covering you totally. Surround you like a cloak so that you can wear it on a daily basis. Oh, my beloved, do not look back to the old. Do not reject my kingdom ways, because there is nothing behind you. As my kingdom spreads out before you, you will find a new liberty. You will find new life. Just walk therein. Let your trust deepen in me. I will give you the wisdom. I will give you the guidance. Whatever is needful, my beloved, just come and receive of that new life and wear it like a cloak, saith the Lord your God.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Come forth, come forward, come out of the grave. Though you've been there many days, come forth. And the Lord says, take off those grave clothes, take them off. Take them off as an individual, as a family, as a church. Take them off, just as in the day when I said to take off Lazarus's grave clothes. And don't put those grave clothes back on. When Lazarus was raised from the dead, he didn't put them back on. So I say this day, when I free you and you come forth in new life, just put those things behind you.
Yes.
Put them in the garbage.
Yes.
Don't put them back on, says the Lord.
This morning to his people. Yea, hear ye the sound of the trumpet, says the Lord. Yea, calling for his warriors, says the Lord.
Yes.
Calling for those, yea, who know how to march. Calling for those who know how to pray. Calling for those who know how to sing. Calling for those who know how to be obedient unto me, says the Lord. Yea, I am calling you, says the Lord. I have a plan. Yea, I have a plan that will unfold this evening, says the Lord. Yea, and if you are obedient unto me, says the Lord, something will happen. Yea, for those who seek me, you shall find me, says the Lord. Yea, I say unto thee, humble yourselves in the sight of God. Humble yourselves, I say unto thee, my people. Put aside the things that are distracting you. Put aside the things that worry you. Put aside the things that you feel an injury. Put aside the things that have hurt you, says the Lord. For I am that I am that I am is here. He wants to love you, says the Lord. And I do love you. But you sometimes push me away and you only give me some. But now I want you to give me all. I don't want any more of just a little bit. I want you to give me all of yourself, says the Lord. Give me all of you as I have given all of myself for you. Yea, remember, don't give me just some, but give me all, says the Lord your God.
So now we're going to sing a song, and let us believe the words of the song. Take them into our hearts. Don't let the enemy tell us otherwise. Christ has set me free. Glorious liberty. It again, but I'd like Wayne Peters to come and help me with the prayer requests. We have a few prayer requests that we'll handle this morning, and we'll still continue to look for that deliverance as the day goes on, for the full day. Praise the Lord. Let's sing it again.
Christ has set me free.
Continue to stand with us as we take these prayer requests to the Lord. Just do one and then I'll do
it. Submitted by Brother Miller. Ingrid, his wife, somehow Ingrid injured her knee yesterday and is in considerable pain and unable to attend the services. Please pray for healing and recovery. Father, we thank you for talking to us today through prophecy. We thank you, Lord, that you are our Father. And as a natural father, we know that we don't enjoy withholding from our children. We love to give them things. And Father, we know that you are our Father. You're the perfect Father. And Father, this morning we pray for Ingrid. As we heard about the Holy Spirit's importance in our life, dear Lord, Father, we thank you when you said it is expedient that I go. If I go, I will send you the Comforter. We thank you, Lord, that you are, and you can be everywhere at any time. As the waters cover the sea, you cover the earth. Father, we pray that you would give her a visitation in her room this very moment. Lay her nail-scarred hand upon her, dear Lord. Touch that knee, dear Lord. Father, we pray your anointing would break the yoke. Even now we pray in Jesus' name, and we give you thanks, dear Lord. Amen. Prayer request submitted by Rennie Himmerling. Margaret Afseth, please remember my grandmother for healing. Last week she was informed that she urgently needs to have open heart surgery to repair a leaking valve, or it will fail. She will have this operation on July 13, 2017. 3 years ago, she was diagnosed with brain cancer and beat it. The chemo was very hard on the rest of her body. She is only 74 and would like to meet her third great-grandchild in September. Amen. Father, again, we bring Margaret to you. You know her completely personally. Father, she's 74 years old, and no matter how old we get, you knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. There's nothing that you do not know. All our circumstances, you're aware of. We pray for light to dispel the darkness, dear Lord. We pray that you'll take fear away from her heart. We pray, Lord, that you would just touch her with your nail-scarred hand. We thank you, Lord, for the provision that you've made for all mankind. And so we ask you would touch Margaret today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Most of you will know Alan Hingston. He lives in Ukraine. He's married a lady there and lives in Ukraine. And but some of his family or relatives are here, and most of us remember him well over the years. Al was he has recently had surgery, just yesterday, I believe it was. And we have two prayer requests here. I'm going to read one of them. Alan recently had surgery, and during the it was bowel surgery, and the surgery did not go well. And it says he was transferred to another second intensive care unit in Ukraine. The situation is not good. He has peritonitis. Doctors cut him during the first surgery yesterday, and the bowel was ripped, and there's a real problem there. The surgeon washed, sewed, and etc., but the situation is not stable and dangerous to life. There's also some problem with the cost of the surgery, and they're pushing for payment. Please join us in urgent prayer. And it's from Marianne Reed and the rest of the Allen's family. And we're going to bring this to the Lord on their behalf. Dear Heavenly Father, we think of Alan this day in the hospital so far away. Father, he has been part of us, dear Lord, as over the years, dear Father. And our heart goes out to him at this time and to his family. And we look for healing, dear Lord. We look for your touch upon his body, even so far away, dear Lord. You are not limited in any way. Father, you can do a miracle. You can do a miracle in every need that might be there, dear Father. We pray for his wife, who is very worried about this situation. We ask that your presence will be felt even in that hospital room today, dear Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And that you will give understanding and wisdom to the family there, to the surgeons, dear Father. And we just ask, dear Father, for that healing touch, dear Lord, that his life may be restored and that he may rejoice in thee, dear Lord. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
prayer request submitted by Hardy Kubisek. Please pray for Angela. She needs a real touch. We are a body. We are members one of another. Father, we, as a body, lift our hearts to you, dear Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the faith that is in this building. We thank you for the faith that is in those hearts who are listening in other by other means. We thank you, Lord, that we believe in someone greater than ourselves. Father, we know that we are in a war. We know that there are principalities and powers and darkness and wickedness that we fight. Father, we pray for Angela. We pray that you would dispel the darkness with your light. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. Father, let your power come upon Angela as we pray. Thy work happen, dear Lord, even as we wait before you this very moment, dear Lord. Father, we're not anxious to just dismiss this, dear Lord. We desire deeply that you would just minister to her heart and her spirit, Father. Any addictions, dear Lord, we pray that you would deal with them, dear Father. Let them be dispelled, dear Lord. Give her power of the Holy Spirit to be an overcomer, dear Lord, with all the rest of us, dear Father. Flow, thou river of God. Flow, thou spirit of the living God upon her, dear Lord, we pray. I want to pray for my sister Irene this morning. She doesn't just need healing, she needs a miracle, dear Lord. Born with dislocated hips, married with children, separated from all. In a world of her own, dear Lord, lonely, without health, struggling in finance. We thank you for the cross. Yes. Minister your life, dear Lord, we pray. Strengthen our hearts, dear Lord, for tonight. Father, let your spirit just move in a mighty way beyond our expectations, dear Father. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You may be seated, and thank you for standing with us for so long.
we're in really good hands. We're in the hands of the Lord. The things of God are unfolding the way He wants them to. And He is moving us forward, preparing us for something that lies ahead. He is working with all of humanity, and the great plan of God will and is unfolding. Praise His name. I felt like if you could have had a way of tasting the message last night, it was like honey. There's something beautiful about honey that's prepared just right. When it lands on your tongue, it seems like you can taste it in your whole mouth, and it's smooth. It doesn't have any granules in it. It hasn't been heated. Whenever you buy honey in the store that's liquid, it's been highly heated, but the honey that's prepared right just is so pleasing. And that's really what we enjoyed last night, was even sweeter than honey in the honeycomb, the way God spoke to us. And I was trying to recall, Brother Luff, one of the things you said, but you said something about the way of walking in the Spirit is right through the carnal nature. Is that right? That we'll actually just go right through and past it. We can't avoid it, but we will overcome. And I'd like Marjorie to help me, and Karina. How many children do we have here? Could you stand on your seat, please? Everybody 12 and under. If you're tall enough, you don't have to stand on the seat, but Ira, you might be just too tall. Ian, if you can stand on the seat, I'll bring you up here. Anyway, we want you to help us sing a song, and we're going to sing it first without doing anything with the children. Everybody will sing it. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. Does He? All I have to do is follow. And then that's repeated. And then strength for today is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Everyone.
Children are standing. Are you going to get a helper? Karina, can you come?
I need your help.
We're going to have the children sing the word follow. Okay? So we're going to say, we're all sing, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do, and then the rest of you just be silent. And let the children, let me hear you say, can you show them the words? Say follow. One, two, three.
Follow.
Big voice. One, two, three.
Follow.
Bigger voice. One, two, three.
Follow.
Yes, and one more time, even bigger. One, two, three.
Follow.
Yes, okay. And you're going to help us to sing this song because we need to learn to follow. So are you going to stand over here? So just together. Yeah. Those folks can't see you at all. Okay, that's where you understand. Can you see? Everybody sings together, but when we come to the word follow, we're going to be quiet and the children are going to shout, okay?
My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is do is strength for today is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is
very good. Once more, and I need really big voices, okay?
My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is strength for today is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. All I have to do is
amen. And now I have a special request. I would like Harrison, if you would just be the one, the only one who sings it, because I'm hearing your voice all the way up here. So when we sing in the chorus, you do the word follow, and then next time through, everybody will, all the other young children will do the same as you, okay? Are you up for that? Are you standing on the top? Are you standing up on a bench? Can you stand on a bench? Great. Okay. So Harrison's going to be the only one to say, follow. The first time. The second time, all the children, be as loud as Harrison, okay?
The Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is all I have to do is
good.
For today is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is
guess who forgot? Thank you all. Thank you, musicians. Praise God. We're on a sure path, and God knows what He's doing, and He knows how to help us. He knows the way through the wilderness, and He's going to be helping us all the way. I've been noting as we hear the voice of God at this camp that He is seemingly preparing us for an event that perhaps is much closer than we realize. There is an event that we may be on the verge of, and I feel the messages that we've been given and what God may speak to us this morning is very similar, that there's something that we need to get ready for. And that is, I want to talk to you about entering into the promised land. And not only entering into the promised land, but we want to look at the story of Joshua and how that unfolded. Then we want to look at, in particular, the four priests that carried that Ark of the Covenant. There's very little written about them,
But I think those four priests we'll be able to relate to, that they are speaking about the unity and the moving of the Spirit of God in your local churches, in your homes, and corporately as we are here. I believe that God is preparing us for something amazing. So let us just consider that about 3,500 years ago, Joshua and the nation of Israel, they stood on the eastern banks of the Jordan River, not far from Jericho, but they were in what would today be the country of Jordan, and they were looking westward across the Jordan and into the Promised Land. 40 years earlier, they had been delivered from Egypt. Their forefathers had died in the wilderness, but now the younger generation was ready to move on. And I believe that all of these things are type and shadow for us to encourage us. Now, it says in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 6 to 11, I'll just read the 11th. Now, all these things happened to them, that's the Jews in Moses' time, for as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the age have come. And if Paul was writing that 2,000 years ago, we're 2,000 years closer to that end. And we need to be gearing up and getting ready. Now, when Joshua stood there, there were several million people. We don't know how many. I've heard it said that 2 million came across from Egypt and crossed the Red Sea into the wilderness. And by now, they may have been quite a bit larger in number. They may have doubled or more. But they stood on the brink, and then God began to give them very specific instructions on how they were to enter the Promised Land. And this was a land that was promised to their forefathers. I want to just remind us, church, that God has made promises to believers down through the ages. Those things will come to pass. But it may be falling on us here and many, many other Christians, we hope, to be in the end of the age and to participate in the great opening up of all that God has for believers in what is called the Promised Land. So let us, first of all, turn to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3, starting at the first verse. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, this is in verse 3, and when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. 2,000 cubits, a cubit is about 18 inches. So we're looking at a space. There was the priests going ahead, and then about a kilometer or just over half a mile. So the whole nation stayed back while the priests went forward. And then it says, do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. I might just say that I feel in type and shadow that there is a going forth of those who feel a call of God on their life. And don't be surprised if others are holding back, but when you enter in, they will come. I believe that that's a theme that God has for us. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come and hear the words of the Lord. And Joshua said, I'm hesitating because I thought I might skip this, but I won't. And verse 10, and Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he shall without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you. And I may just leap ahead for a moment. It would be really nice if this promised land was just sitting and waiting like grapes for the picking. But it's not so. There are seven nations mentioned that I just read. Seven nations that occupy the land that was promised to those who would inherit the promise. These were enemies, and they would resist every move of the children of Israel to take the land. And I believe, as Brother Luff pointed out to us, that war between the flesh and the spirit, that there are things that face us that we must overcome. And I have a list of seven, and perhaps there's many more. But pride, I put beside the Canaanites as an enemy. Human pride. I tell you, all you have to watch is a little 3 or 4 year old kid with their hands on their hips defying their parents, and you know that pride starts early. And that is something that has to go, that pride. Rebellion, that thing in a human being that says, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. And fear. Fear grips us many times. How can this be? How can we enter in? The enemies are too large. Unbelief is another one of the enemies where we just say, I can't believe that. And I won't believe that. And we choose sometimes we become willingly ignorant, as the scripture says. Worldliness. That is when we begin to listen to the pushing voices that are trying to influence us so that the church looks more and more like the world. And the church will not be the world. But worldliness is one of the enemies that we will overcome. Unforgiveness is another enemy, and we must overcome. Stubbornness, where we just put our foot down and we say to God, it's my way, not yours. But those things have counterpoints in the realm of the Spirit. The solution for them all is found in Christ, in our relationship with Him. They are not commodities, they are His nature. And the answer to pride is humility. The answer to rebellion is submission. We hear a lot about submission in this call of God, don't we? And if you don't have the right ears on, you will think that it is an effort for people to manage us or control us. But I tell you that walking with Christ is the most intelligent and intentional thing that you could ever get involved in. It is very intelligent. And I remember a brother from the Anglican Church, he described something to me that really helps me to understand. He says, we are body, soul, and spirit kind of driving together in the same car, and God wants the spiritual side of us in the driver's seat. And that's the way it'll work. If the other two will vie for that position. But like we were taught last night, we want the spiritual side of us more and more to be under the influence of Christ. And So we have submission as part of our calling. Fear is cast out by perfect love. Unbelief by faith. And as we continue in this spirit of anticipation for tonight, let us continue to maintain our faith in God that He will move. One of the brothers who is looking to God, a younger man than myself, looking to God, needing God's help, he said, "I am not coming to the meeting for a prayer. I'm coming for healing." Amen? And we will pray, but what we want is God's help, that He will bring that deliverance for everyone. Praise His name. So unbelief is defeated by faith. Worldliness is defeated by a hunger for holiness. Unforgiveness comes by walking with Christ and learning to forgive. Stubbornness is laid down when we come and walk a selfless life before the Lord. And so I want to just read on a little bit, starting at the 12th verse of that third chapter. "Now therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests," and may I just say the four priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, "the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand in a as a heap." Verse 14, "So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for though Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan." So you can just picture this, I'm sure. It's not a difficult thing to picture at all, but beautiful to watch in your mind as these priests carry this ark and approach the edge of the Jordan, begin to enter into that Jordan River, and 18 miles north on the Jordan River, God stops the river. And then it must have taken some time. I don't have the engineering degree to be able to figure out how long it would take for the water to subside enough that they could cross over on dry ground. But I think those priests had to occupy for quite a while in that Jordan River. And they had to stand there with carrying that Ark of the Covenant. "So the waters that went down into the Sea of Araba," or the Dead Sea, "failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over." In type and shadow, when we have been taught over the years about the Jordan River, it is the Jordan River speaks of death. Now, that doesn't sound very exciting, does it? But the Jordan River speaks of death. One of the brethren here said this: "You cannot have a resurrection without a death. And we must be willing to lay down not our physical lives, but those items that we mentioned that plague us as humans. We must be willing to lay down our pride and lay down our unforgiveness and lay down all of those things and let the carnal nature die and let the Spirit of God take full rule over us. In type and shadow, Joshua is a type of Christ. In fact, in the Hebrew language, they have the same name, Yeshua. The children of Israel are a type of the church, the believers, all the believers. The promised land, we have a lot of terms for that that God has given us, including sonship Entering into the promise is the promise of resurrection life. It is entering into the Holy of Holies. It is entering into the fullness of Christ. And that awaits us. That awaits humanity as every knee bows and every tongue confesses and everyone comes to the Lord and bows the knee and claims Him as their Savior. There are two kinds of priests that I want to draw your attention to. Every priest in the Jewish nation was a Levite, but not every Levite was a priest. But we have two priesthoods here. And we're going to read a little bit about them first, I believe. If you would turn with me back to Numbers. Numbers chapter 4. And there is a family that God wanted to be involved in the transportation of the Ark of the Covenant and many of the other articles in the holy place and the Holy of Holies. And this family was the Kohath family. I'm sure that the Jews would say it with a much better accent than I can. But K-O-H-A-T-H, Kohath family. This family was, and we'll read about them. So starting in Numbers chapter 4, then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "Take a census of the sons of Kohath from among the children of Levi by their families, by their father's house, from 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old, all who enter the service to do the work in the tabernacle of meeting." Now there's kind of a strange little statistical difference between what it says here and what it says in Numbers chapter 8, verse 24, and I'll just refer to it. And that is that it says that the priesthood begins at the age of 25 and ends at the age of 50. But here it's saying they start at the age of 30 and end at the age of 50. So it's not too hard to imagine there was kind of a five-year preparation before they could really be given the full responsibility of handling the holy things. And I don't know how they practiced. I don't know what they did to get ready to handle the real articles. But it seemed like it was something to not take lightly. But for 5 years, they would ready themselves to do what is instructed of them. And it goes on to tell us then in chapter 4 of Numbers, verse 4, what they do. This is the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of meeting relating to the most holy thing. When the camp prepares to journey, when they begin to move, does anybody here know how many times the children of Israel moved in 40 years in the wilderness? Well, I'm in good company because I don't know either. Over 50? Say it again, brother. 41 times is mentioned. So that was a lot of work for the Kohath. When the camp prepares to journey, Aaron and his sons shall come, and they shall take down the covering veil and cover the Ark of the Testimony with it. Then they shall put on it a covering of badger skins and spread over that a cloth entirely of blue, and they shall insert its poles. Now the Ark of the Covenant, for those of you who want to know its dimensions in feet, it was about 4 feet wide and 2.5 feet in width and 2.5 feet in depth. Not a very big table, quite a bit smaller than the table we use for the communion, but it was a shittim wood covered over with pure gold, and it was it contained three articles. It contained the Ten Commandments, contained the rod that budded that Aaron had, and it contained a pot of manna. I'm just going to ask a question. Is it hard to hear me? Are anybody having trouble hearing me? Kind of? It's okay, a little bit more volume would help. Okay, thank you. Thanks for doing that. Pardon me? The three articles were the Ten Commandments, the two stones, the pot of manna, and the rod of Aaron that budded. And those all have type and shadow. I may not get time to go into those as well, but they all represent aspects of Jesus Christ himself. And so you can see here, though, that it isn't the Kohath family that are taking down the drapes and putting them over the Ark of the Covenant. And the same thing happens with the other articles in the holy place. It isn't the Kohath family that's doing that. It is the Aaronic priesthood or the high priest. And I believe that the Aaronic priesthood speaks of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And there are things that only they can do, that we as priests of God, as royal priesthood, I remember Brother York saying this, and I think it's very important, let the Holy Spirit do the Holy Spirit work. Don't interfere. And this is saying that there's a role for us. And I want to say to you that in our churches, God has been schooling us and schooling us and schooling us to learn to be led by the Spirit and not take over ourselves. And I believe that this is saying that very clearly to us, that we have a role to play, but we must be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and in our church services and in our camps and in our homes and in our lives, be very sensitive. Let the Holy Spirit do Holy Spirit work, and we just come along and do the things that God gives us to do. We do our part. And then it goes on in verses 7 down through 14, where it talks about how they cover the other implements, the three articles that are in the holy place. So there's the one article in the Holy of Holies, which is the tabernacle in the wilderness. Which is the Ark of the Covenant, and the three articles in the holy place. And we won't go into that. But in verse 15, and when Aaron and his sons have finished covering the sanctuary and all the furnishing of the sanctuary, when the camp is set to go, then the sons of Kohath shall come to carry them, but they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. And then it says, these are the things in the tabernacle of the meeting which the sons of Kohath are to carry. Let's just skip down to 17. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, do not cut off the tribe of the families of the Kohathites from among the Levites, but do this in regard to them, that they may live and not die. When they approach the most holy things, Aaron and his sons shall go in and appoint each of them to do his service and his task, but they shall not go in to watch while the holy things are being covered, lest they die. And so there seems to be an inquisitiveness that we could have about spiritual things, but God wants us to let God be holy and be excellent in looking after, bringing forth many things. We cannot bring to fruition the things that God has in mind. We can just cooperate with him in it. And God wants us to be very careful to do that. So let's return to Joshua again. I tried to put my mind to what it was like for these four priests, these Kohathites, to carry this Ark of the Covenant. And I just picture for a moment, I've been on the brink of the Jordan River, and some of you have, and there isn't, I don't think, a river on earth that's easy to get into. There's rocks and there's there's ups and downs, and there's all kinds of shrubbery, and there's things to trip over, and there's things that impede you. It's just not an easy task to enter any river, and especially a river in flood. It's not a very wide river. I don't suppose it's much, the Jordan River in full flood may not be much wider than the length of this building. I just don't know. But it still was an impediment to entering in. Just picture these four men, these four priests, and when I'm speaking of priests today, it includes the women. You are part of that royal priesthood. But these four men, they speak to us of carrying that Ark of the Covenant and making the way open into the promise. And I just think that if they were novices, you would have quite a problem getting into the river without tipping that over. And I just tried to picture what they were like. And I don't think that they would be two short guys and two tall guys. Yeah, they would have the same stature. And that's what God is doing with us. In the body of Christ, He's creating an equality in us and a unity in us so that we can walk as one and learn to walk together. That there's no greatness among us, just Christ. And that we learn to walk together. You see, I've had a bit of experience with carrying something with someone else. Every year we had to move honeybees. And we had to go at night when the bees don't like you around. But you wanted the whole field force that were out gathering during the day to be home. So when you move them, they're all there. And when you set them down in their new location, then you've got the field force that you need. So you had to do it at night, and they were not impressed. They really want to sting you. And they don't fly, they crawl. They just get on you, and if you have any little openings in your armor, they find it. But my brother Murray and I did a lot of carrying hives, and my dad also. But I'm thinking of the years with Murray, and there seemed to be a harmony that Murray and I achieved where we could pick up a hive and we could be talking about anything at all, but we could sense what one another was doing and where the other person was going, and you could sense if they were having a misstep and you accommodated. And it became a beautiful thing that Murray and I could carry these hives and not fall, doing it in the dark. We had our feet like Braille, you know. We were just working our way over the land and putting these hives on a truck. But it was amazing that if one of us felt we should move right, we moved right together, and we didn't have to talk about it. We were so familiar with walking together and carrying those hives. And I really believe that God is creating a priesthood who are learning to walk together and learning to be trained in the things of the Spirit of God and creating in us an ability to walk into situations where we just walk in unity, where we walk in submission. It's an amazing thing to consider, isn't it? And so, if you were to examine Murray and I, you'd find we were both willing. But can you imagine if you had four priests and three were willing and one wasn't? That wouldn't work very well. But those four priests were skilled in working together. I'm sure they knew one another and they learned to walk together. They had an identical purpose. They were going the same direction. They knew what they had to do. They knew what direction had been given to them through Joshua and through the Aaronic priesthood. They knew what not to look at. If you go on the internet and you look at some depictions of what that must have looked like, you'll see two kinds of pictures. One is a picture of the four priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant with the with the cherubim showing on the top, and you could see the Ark of the Covenant. But the more accurate pictures were where it was completely covered over and you couldn't see it. And that was the way the Kohathites carried the Ark of the Covenant. And I believe that one of the things that is an earmark of those who will enter into the promised land is a sense of reverence and awe for the anointing and the power and the presence of God. And I believe that those four priests, they had an awe for that Ark of the Covenant. They had an intense reverence for God. They knew about the Shekinah glory of God. And they held that in the highest regard. And saints of God, hasn't the Lord been showing us that we need to maintain a tremendous reverence for the presence of God? Those four priests had that Ark of the Covenant above them, so to speak. Near them, but above them. And I think of the song that we sing sometimes, "We place you on the highest place." And God is teaching us and showing us how we can keep Him in the highest place, have that tremendous reverence. Saints of God, God was not casual about our salvation, and we should not be casual in response to Him. We can take the things of God very seriously. Let me say this to young men and women in the church. I just thought, Brother Sunbow, that you would be very happy to hear, by the way, I'm kind of going back to this 50-year-old thing, that it actually says that when the Kohathites were 50 and all the other priests, they were done. So there's hope for the ministry in the evening there. Brother Sunbow and his wife are helping with that evening ministry of the food after the service. But you know, I was a young man when I stepped up to the plate, and I began to take responsibility. And it's time for young men and women to shoulder responsibility. I'm so thankful when some of the young men and their wives that I know were approached by the brethren and asked if they would take the responsibility of eldership and elder's wife and deaconship and deacon's wives, that they said yes. Praise God. Thank you for doing that. And if you are asked to bear responsibility in the church, take it on. And it doesn't have to be an office as such, but walk in your ministry and be like these four high priests who learn to walk together. You know, we're not very pretty sometimes in our local churches. It's not a work of art sometimes. We don't always get along like we maybe should. Sometimes we rub one another the wrong way. Sometimes we might be tempted to abandon ship, because when are things ever going to get better? When will so-and-so change? You know? But you know what? The change happens in us. We need to make the change. We need to be faithful. We need to hold on. We need to continue. I don't know if we could estimate what a journey it was for these four priests to go into that water, and how long they waited for the water to drain, the 17 miles, before the whole nation could cross over. And then as these millions crossed over, they had to stay there and hold that Ark of the Covenant. And they were faithful. And I believe God is helping us, isn't He, to be faithful in our local churches, to be conscious of all that's necessary for us to walk in unity and to maintain the unity of the Spirit. We're going to have to do some dying, right? We're going to have to just ask God to help us if we get a little irritable about something, if we get a little tired of something, even if we're not seeing ourselves enter into the promise as quickly as we would like. But it's coming, saints. The entering in is coming, praise the Lord. And we will enter in, because the time came when those four priests saw the last of the children of Israel, and it was their turn to enter into the promised land. You know, I believe that those seven nations that were mentioned there, I believe there's a difference today in that we will actually overcome them in the river. I believe that by the time we enter into the promised land, we will have defeated those enemies. And anything else that stands in the way, we will have become skilled at it. But let me point something out to you. There's something in my heart that says that everyone will have to go the way of the priesthood. They will all have to carry the ark. They will all eventually have to have that honor and reverence for the things of God. They will all eventually have to learn to walk together and work together, because they also will see that as they enter in, it will open the way for others. I believe that that is a message for us. Even tonight, as we enter in to fasting and prayer and intercession, and however God has your ministry operate, all the gifts are war gifts, because it says you, by them you war a good warfare. And we can all do battle tonight. And we need to be workers together and abandon those things, as we've been hearing, that are impediments to us walking together in unity. I really believe so. Tonight will not be a night for observers, not one observer, but participants. I remember when, Crafton, when you and I were in Ghana, it was my first trip there. We went out to pray for, or we went out to minister to a church, and there was a little 12-year-old girl there, and she knew she was possessed with a demon. Sometimes in the occultish religions, they will devote a child to a demon at birth, and this little child was probably one of those. And she came forward for deliverance, and as we gathered around her and prayed for her, she was just immediately set free. That demon just left her. But there was an older woman in the crowd, and she was dealing with the same thing, and she wanted deliverance. So she came forward, and none of our efforts were fruitful that night. We prayed and prayed and did all the things that we thought would help, and that demon just laughed at us and spoke in the language and mocked us and said, she's married to me and you can't have her, and they had to interpret those for me. And we didn't have any success with her. But when we went back to our hotel, Brother Wager was in prayer and probably grieving about it and looking to the Lord. And the Lord said to him, there were observers in the crowd, and that demon could have gone into them as it left her. So the Lord actually protected those who were just there to watch. And so that next night when we went out, that sister was there, and she wanted to be delivered. And Brother Wager said, anybody who's here just to watch, we want you to leave. Just leave the room. And those of you who will help us and pray with us, you just stay and we'll pray together. And you know, that demon left her immediately, just as we laid hands upon her. We are workers together. I think, as one of the prophecies said, we need to tip our vessels upside down before the Lord today and say, Lord, just take out anything that would stand in the way so that you can flow freely. Saints of God, as I close, I believe that we are on the brink of something, or we wouldn't be hearing these messages that have just come one after another during this camp that seem to be laying down for us a time of preparation. And I want to tell you, your local church is doing you good. I have a flow hive. Anybody heard of a flow hive? Where you put a box on a beehive and you can actually just crack the comb right in the hive and put a bottle right outside, and it'll fill the bottle right beside the hive. You don't have to take boxes off anymore. But you know, it says on the side of that box, because I'm trying to assemble it, it says, some assembly required. You know, you'll need an assembly to enter in. You'll need a local church. It'll be required. And there's no dodging that. That is part of your spiritual health. You can't have Jesus without having his church. We need to walk together and work together. Let us stand. We place you on the highest place. For you are the great high priest. We place you high above all, and we come to you. Father, we're serious today that we want to be in the position that you've invited us to be in. Dear Lord, we know that you are calling and elect people, but dear Lord, we know that it need not be us, that we could disqualify ourselves if we aren't serious. Lord, there must be others out there who are longing for the same thing. And we pray that they too will enter in with us. But dear Lord, we know there will be, according to your scripture, there will be a remnant. We know, dear Lord, because your word says it, and we know this for a fact, that you have invited us to be part of it. And dear Father, as we review our hearts, we consider the task that's before us, that we would carry and walk before others, carrying that anointing, carrying that glory of God, that, dear Father, as we lay down our lives for our brother, which is the greatest show of love, dear Lord, that you will open before us the way into the promise you have for us. We pray this now sincerely, dear Lord, and just continue to move on our hearts as we prepare for tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Just a reminder that those of you who want to come early, or were you going to bring that message? Yeah. We will, this is Saskatchewan's day to help in the dining hall, so we trust there are lots of workers there. And if you're from Saskatchewan and haven't had a chance to go there and help, go and see if you can sign up. Yes.
People with announcements, please come up. A couple questions about tonight, just preparation for tonight. How many in this room have been prayed over in the past, and you've been prayed over with the gift of faith, the gifts of healing, or the working of miracles? Would you just raise your hand, please? Just hold them up, keep them up for a minute. I'm going to ask the traveling brethren, just look around you, just to get a feel for the number of people that the Lord has bestowed those gifts on. Okay, you can put your hands down. How many have been prayed over in the past that have the word of knowledge or the discernment of spirits? Would you raise your hands? Okay, we're in good company tonight. I'm going to ask all of you to begin stirring those gifts up during the day. Stir them up. Pray in tongues. Seek the Lord. Stir those gifts up. The meeting tonight is at 7:30, as we said. But at 7 p.m., anyone that wants to come and just pray here, pray for this meeting, for this outpouring, to prepare the altar, you come at 7 p.m. The brethren are going to be here early. The brethren will be here at about 7 p.m. as well. This is just a prayer time. The meeting starts at 7:30. We've asked those that are doing live stream to start it at 7 p.m. so that those at home that want to pray with us can also watch and participate. If you desire, and this is up to you, if you desire to fast and pray, you just listen to the Lord about that. We want there to be preparation in the body for what God is going to do. If you want to fast and pray, you do what you feel you should do. Young people, I know you're going to be here already, but tonight, be here. Be here. There's a carnival at Walmart. Forget the carnival. Be here tonight. Thank you.
Young people tonight, this afternoon, we'll be meeting at 1 p.m., not 1:30, not 2 o'clock, 1 p.m. And don't worry about getting changed if you're rushed. Just come on over with what you're wearing and you can change afterwards. That's fine.
The preschoolers will meet at 3 o'clock again in the bottom of the cloud room. And if any moms that are available could come a little bit early, maybe 2:30, 2:45, and help me just figure out what we're going to do. So, thank you.
This message is for the children. 3 o'clock, please, where we've been meeting in the same place to practice our songs and hear our stories. 3 o'clock, please bring your Bibles. There will be a point for your team if you bring your Bibles, and please bring your little booklet from Sister Christina. Now, this afternoon is very exciting. We've got some fun structures arriving, and children, please take your parents to the fun structures and let your parents decide which one will be appropriate for you to play on. But don't forget to come at 3 o'clock.
Just a reminder that we would like to take a group to sing at Caleb Village tomorrow afternoon, and we'll be meeting a little before 2:30 at the back of the tabernacle.